If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn. I'm your host. I have with me today Josh Olmos. Josh is, let's put it this way. He was a homeless teen and he went from homeless teen to thriving entrepreneur. Josh is passionate about helping others be intentional about the life they're creating. He's a marketing consultant and owner of Day by Day Solutions, a marketing service business for local service businesses. He's the founder of Faith Through Love, a nonprofit that helps the homeless and families in need in the Northern Nevada area. He is also the host of the Be Intentional podcast. Josh loves connecting with others and spending time with his wife and four sons in Reno, Nevada. Please help me welcome Josh Olmos. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Oh, I'm very, very excited to have you. How's your day going so far?
It's going good. Been very productive morning.
That's great. Now you're in Nevada, correct?
I am. I'm in Reno, Nevada.
In Reno, Nevada. That's wonderful. You like to gamble? Or do the people in Nevada are the only ones that don't gamble?
No, we go to the casinos for the food.
There you go. I hear you. Okay. So before we begin, I have to ask you, your first name when you introduced yourself to me was Josh or Joshua, but I quickly learned that's not your real first name. What is the name that your parents gave you?
Josue.
Now I know why they call you Josh.
Yeah.
Josue?
Mm-hmm.
That is what language?
Spanish.
It's Spanish. Does it mean anything?
So it's actually just Joshua translated into Spanish.
Oh, really?
So that's why Joshua gets the same name.
Ah, okay. I had no idea. All right. Awesome. Great. Now, as you know, the name of this podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling us what the right thing to do is, and they represent the good things in life. And the bricks represent the bad things that we go through in life. And let's be honest. All right. Everybody goes through stuff in their life. Sometimes the brick is bigger, sometimes it's smaller, sometimes there are more of them, sometimes there are less of them. But at the end of the day, everybody goes through something. And the idea of this podcast is to try and help people that are going through things that they think they're the only ones going through them. And I bring on guests that tell their stories and people realize that, hey, I'm not the only one going through this. So there are several reasons why I asked you to be my guest on the show. After our initial conversation, I knew that there were people in my audience who were going through some of the same things that you had gone through. They've been hit with brick after brick, much like what you had gone through. And they needed to hear and to know that they could get through the trials and tribulations the same way that you did. They needed to know that there are whispers out there that could save them. Now, in your life, you've had many bricks thrown at you. To start with, as we learned, you became a homeless person at the ripe old age of 14. What was that all about?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's really easy to think, you know, be sorry for ourselves because we're kind of a victim of circumstance. Because at 14, you know, I didn't have a lot of say in what was going on around me. So my parents were going through a really bad divorce and weren't speaking to each other. So one thought I was with the other thought I was with the other one. They forgot that I was actually on a class trip, came home, and everybody was gone. And I had no idea where they went. They both moved out of our region. And so it took me about 8 months to track down my mother. And then after that, my father.
So let me understand something. You're on a class trip, right? Mm-hmm. You come home. Was the house locked or did you have keys? Did you be able to get in? What was the story? If they
so
if they
it was left, locked, it was locked and I kind of broke into my own house.
You broke into your own house. Awesome. You still had was there like gas and electric? Did you still have, you know, was there a
I did. There was gas and electric for a couple of days. I left to go find them. We lived in a place in Southern California, in Escondido, California, called Elfin Forest. So it was about 30 minutes from town driving. So I went into town, and that took me a whole day.
Okay. So you went into town, and what did you do about school?
I went to school.
You're all alone, right? Mm-hmm. Did you get a key, by the way, to the house?
No.
So what did you do? I mean, did you leave the front door open? I mean, how did you get in and out?
I left a window cracked, but it was so far away from town. I stayed there a night and then came back about a week later just to double check, but didn't really stay there. Kind of figured it out on my own. I did go to school. I guess you can say I was a little bit proud because I didn't want anyone to know that this had happened. It was kind of embarrassing. So I tried to live as normal and like life was going on and not let anyone know that anything was happening for as long as I could.
Wow. So like, how did you manage? What did you do? I mean, I'm assuming you didn't have any money. I had to assume, right? So what did you eat? Where did you go? Clothes. Yeah. Think about all the things that a person needs, you know, a child. You know, I look at my 17-year-old, you know, and he's 17, all right? And he would probably not be able to make it on his own. So what did you do? Where'd you get food from? I mean, if you went to a public school, I'm assuming they served you lunch.
Yes, we did. I did have lunch. And then there was a Carl's Jr. that I knew that someone worked there. And I traded a little bit of labor. I knew a little bit of how to work with my hands. And so I worked a little bit on their car and they, you know, would pay me in their discount, in their employee discount for food. So they would give me some food. And I did that for a while, actually. That first night was the hardest, but you know, if you really think it through, you can trade labor for a lot of things.
Tell me real quick about that first night, actually. Where did you sleep? What did you do?
So I went to a park that I knew, and it was hard to sleep. I have to admit, that first one, it was a shell shock, and I had been a little bit, you know, sheltered as a kid. So I didn't really know what was going on. There was a lot of emotions, a lot of like that pity party of like, what did I do so wrong that, you know, my parents don't love me, that they would forget about me, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that lasted for, you know, embarrassingly to say hours because mm-hmm. it was already dark by the time I kind of came through and it was really cold. I was in shorts and a t-shirt and I realized, man, I need to get it together or I can very, very realistically die out here. And so it was cold on the benches because they were metal. So,
yeah.
Really cold. So I went and found kind of like a jungle gym. Back then they used to have the old wooden jungle gyms and
right.
underneath them, there were like wood chips. Now I know right. they're all foam, but back then there were wood chips.
Right.
And I didn't have anything, but it was cold. So I knew that if I kind of dug underneath the jungle gym, then the wind would go over me if I was low enough. So, yeah, just with my bare hands, a lot of splinters on my hands, because there were wood chips. And so you dig through that and you kind of get to the plastic and then under that and yeah, dug a hole and slept in there as much as I could. Cause obviously every noise kind of was startling, but slept as much as I could and try to figure out what in the world to do. It was a weekend. So I had the couple days to figure out how the heck to get, you know, to school and all that fun stuff.
You know, it brings back memories of, I mean, I remember, you know, I've spoken to Holocaust survivors who talk to me about, you know, running away into the forest and literally doing the same thing you did, digging holes and literally digging their own graves, you know, to sleep in order to, you know, to keep themselves sheltered and the like. And I mean, I can't imagine what that first night must have been like, digging, literally thinking to yourself, I'm digging my own grave. You know, I hope I wake up in the morning, that type of thing. Let me ask you something. When when you were a kid, before all this was going on, I mean, you must have had like hopes and dreams like any little kid. Do you remember, what they were, if any of them? What were your hopes and dreams when you were a kid?
Oh yeah. When I was a kid, I wanted to become a police officer. I wanted to become a cop because it was, I worked watched a lot of action movies. And when I was a kid, Bruce Lee was really popular. So, that was kind of the thing. And I came from really humble beginnings, not just that, but before too. My dad, first generation, my dad came from Veracruz and became a citizen and opened up a shop, but we were not wealthy by any means and on the poor scale. So, being able to buy a house and being able to go to college, like those were like big accomplishments for my family at the time. So that I wanted to become a cop. And to me, that was a successful, career and buy a house one day and go to college. That was, those were my dreams.
Wow. So I it's interesting. You mentioned your parents came from, or your father came from, where did he come from?
Veracruz, Mexico.
He came from Mexico. And, but I mean, I'm assuming that he came in legally and he went through all the, went through the process. You know, you must be you have to be proud of your dad for that situation. I know what's going on today. You know, I don't want to get political right now, but really, what's going on at the borders and the like, it's just a terrible situation. So it's always nice to hear, about people that have done it legally and have really made something of themselves in this country, because let's be real, America is the land of the free, and it's the land of opportunity if you just take the bull by the horns. And I think you represent that as well, because obviously you're doing okay now, right? And yeah. you were literally, as your bio said, you went from homeless to an entrepreneur, and that's great. Let me ask you this. Was there ever a point in time in your life when you just sank so low that you said, I can't do this anymore. It's too hard. I'm just going to give up on my dreams. And if that's the case, how did you overcome? And when did you overcome? When did you get out of it?
Oh, very much so. Just backtracking a little bit before I answer that question, that, my dad was the one who really instilled the American dream in us and to keep fighting and to keep going. I mean, he was so, so proud to come over and become a citizen. This was the land of opportunity. And I feel like sometimes people who immigrated here, or like me, who have parents who did it, we really hold on to that American dream. We really hold on to that, what blessing it is to be an American. And so, I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and definitely not going to get political and stuff, but we were really proud. I mean, I know we're a Mexican family, we stuck to our culture, but we were really, really proud to be Americans. And it is a blessing, because I don't know that things would turn out the way that they did. And I would have had the opportunity that I had if my dad would have stayed over there and this would have happened over there. Right. And so definitely agree with that we are, that America is a great place to live and grow up in. And so me being young, I kind of had to figure things out on my own, and I did a lot of things, some things that worked really well, some things that worked that didn't go really well. to be honest with you, the part that was really, really hard for me was I had my boys. I had two boys when I was young, when I was really young, when I was, 18 and 20. And becoming a parent is a whole different ballgame. And we had just got, my wife and I, we had just gotten married. We had just moved into an apartment, and I was working three jobs. I had gone from, I had burned all the money from selling the first business that I started, which was a brick and mortar business, gone through all that to get the apartment, to get the car, to kind of get us up and going. And I thought I would just roll into the next, the next business venture. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work out. And then now I had three mouths to feed and, mortgage and a car payment. And before it was just looking out for myself, now I had other people. So literally working three jobs, it was really hard. And there definitely became a point where I was like, I can't do this. It's too much. It's too much pressure. Things aren't going the way I thought they were going to go. I have no idea what I'm doing, because that realization kicked in. You're a parent, you're working, you're doing all this stuff. And there's that, you know, whole work-life balance, right? It's like, I'm not there for the kids, but the kids need to eat, so I need to go to work. And it was like, I'm not being a good parent. So all these things, right, run through your head.
Right. Did you wind up with, were you one of those that, like, you had too much month at the end of your money?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And also, I mean, I grew up on the streets. So, you know, later what I found out was a little bit of PTSD. I overreacted to a lot of things because to me, everything was life and death because I grew up, if we didn't find something to eat today, if I didn't do this, if I didn't do that, it really affected my day to day. And so trying to adapt from me controlling everything and really having that, you know, fighting for every single step that I took to going into a, you know, into society. And it's a totally different thing. I had no idea about politics in the workplace or how the hierarchy worked or any of that type of stuff. And so that stuff was really hard. There was a lot of stuff I was learning at once, a lot of things I didn't understand. And it was really easy to get depressed during those times. And
do you think, was your wife supportive of you? I mean, I'm assuming yes. I mean, she married you and you had kids together. I'm assuming she was supportive of you. Did she work at all, or, you know, was she just taking care of the kids and so that you can go out and do what you needed to do?
So for the most part, she stayed at home. But yeah, she was definitely supportive, but it was the same thing. She was handling two kids and we were on her own. And, you know, there's a whole story with that too, but you know, everyone, and I get it. Everyone thought that we shouldn't have had kids or been together. So, we were on our own. And so that was hard too. You know, she came from a little bit of a higher class, wealthier family and stuff. And then she was on her own trying to figure it out with me, who had no idea what I was doing with two little kids. And so it was definitely a shock for all of our systems.
Right. That kind of begs the question. When you got married, I mean, you just mentioned that she was from a little bit better, you know, a little wealthier home. I don't want to call it wealthy, but a little wealthier home than you, certainly. What was her parents? What were their thoughts? I mean, did they condone the marriage? Were they against it? Did they cut her off, or did they say, no, we'll help you? What was going on there?
they definitely didn't condone it. And it definitely was a cutoff thing. Didn't attend the wedding or any of that type of stuff. So we were definitely on our own.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. So you had two kids. So, but at some point in time, you obviously had turned this around. Tell me about that. What did you do? What are you doing now? I mean, you know, how did you manage?
You know, I think the biggest thing was realizing that I was in control of my time. You know, my dad used to tell me something, where there's a will, there's a way. And
my dad used to say to me, when there's a will, there are relatives.
That's true too. That is true too.
When there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, when there's a will, there's a way. So really it was where Be Intentional came from, was the fact of, if I didn't want to do this for the rest of my life because it was going to break me to run this hard, what was I going to do today to set up my future? And so taking a step back, taking those hits that came with it and being purposeful about each step I took, that's, you know, and then knowing that if I worked hard enough, I could accomplish it. That's really what changed everything. Because before, everything was reactionary. It was just like, this is due, this has to happen. And so I was just reacting to everything that came my way. When I stopped and actually kind of, you know, planned out where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do, and was intentional with each step, that changed everything.
Wow. That's amazing. So I think you also mentioned to me something about a ministry.
Yeah, I was an executive director for a ministry, a traveling ministry that helped inner city kids. And I did that for 10 years. That I started from the very bottom as volunteering because I wanted to make a difference. I started from volunteering, got hired on to handle some of the books and some of the outreaches, and then moved up to director, and then moved up to executive director. and director of operations and all that fun stuff. So it that taught me a lot. And that actually is where I realized I wanted to go into marketing, because I realized how many people are doing amazing things, but they're the best kept secret. Nobody knows about them because they don't, they're so busy mastering their craft and doing so well at doing what they do for people that they don't have time to go out and actually tell people what they do and get more clients. And so that's actually what propelled me into marketing.
That's awesome. I mean, it's, you know, it must have been very, very satisfying for you in that environment, knowing that, you know, knowing the environment that you came from and saying to yourself, you know what, I know it happened to me, but I'm not going to let it, if it's up to me, I'm not going to let it happen to anybody else. And, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes in order to make sure that, you know, people have a decent upbringing, a decent life, et cetera. So, you know, my hat's off to you, you know, doing that kind of thing, especially for 10 years, that's a long time. Yeah. You know, that's a long time in that kind of a situation. So my hat's off to you. You should be really, really proud of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. And, you know, so I did go into the ministry for 10 years and that was amazing. But also, I mean, you know, sitting down with my wife and going over what we wanted to do, she was in the Air Force. She was in the military for, 6 of those years. And wow. So that, you know, her, you know, going off for a little bit, you know, you have to 8-month boot camp. So it was just me and my boys and doing that stuff. So us being on the same page and really going, okay, we want to be intentional. We don't want this lifestyle. We need it. We moved out of our hometown because we wanted to start over. And it was really hard to get away from old habits if you are surrounded by the same things over and over again. And that was hard. And so doing it together, that was a big deal. So, but, you know, credit to where credit's due too. Her being in the Air Force really, you know, helped, especially with the education, especially with insurance and stuff like that. So it was a big deal.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And so you were talking about early on, you had 2 kids. I understand now you have 4 children.
Now I have 4. Yes, sir.
Is that correct? And how's that working out?
Great. I mean, it's wonderful. My oldest is just graduated high school and, you know, 18. And then my youngest is 6 months. So
6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. That's a spread. 18
very
years.
Much so. Yeah, sir.
Yeah. How much, how old are your other kids? So you have 18.
Yeah. So I have 18, 16, and then 6 years old and then 6
and,
months.
And then 6 months. Okay. So you got that 10-year gap between numbers 2 and 3.
Yes.
All right. That's not bad. I have 8.5-year gap between 4 and 5 by me, but that's another whole story. And this is about you, not about me. So we're not going to go there. Anyway, that's amazing. Do you have siblings?
I do. My sister, who's the oldest, 10 years older than me, she has cerebral palsy.
And who's taking care of her?
My mom. My mom is taking care of her. Yeah. So.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. Yeah. And then you have a.
And then I have a brother. He's 6 years older than me. And he's in Orange County right now. And he runs a car detailing business. So.
Car detailing.
Yeah.
I could be a customer if I was in California, but I'm in New York. But trust me, my car needs detailing without a doubt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wow, that's great. That's really great. So it really sounds like you have it put together. You figured it out. My hat's off to you. I just, you know, I think if it were me, I would be dead by now. But really my hat's off to you. So before we go, is there anything that you would share with my audience, words of wisdom, words of advice that you can give to my audience?
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely just harken back to two things. One is apparently what my dad said was true. Where there's a will, there's a way. You know, you have to be willing to sacrifice some things because everything comes at a cost. And so sacrifice some things for what you really want. And then 2 is be intentional about what you're doing. This life has a really, really easy way of getting you caught up and just reacting and just living day by day. And every day passes by so fast. So if you don't stop and make intentional steps, you'll end up somewhere where you didn't want to be.
Great. Definitely words of wisdom. One more question. If you had to point to an individual that had a huge influence on your life, Who would that be?
It was my dad. My dad definitely had the biggest influence, not only by example of, you know, him coming over, but also when I found him and, you know, and told him what happened, he broke down and he apologized, and it actually got him and my mom talking. They didn't get back together or anything, but start talking and start doing that, because the way he responded to everything was amazing. You know, he was my best friend before he passed away in 2010, but we had such a great relationship and he was my best friend. And he really showed me from, you know, from the very beginning to the end, you know, how a man should be and what we can do when we get over ourselves and try to do what's best.
Wow. You know, you're to a degree, you're doing God's work. That's what I feel. If people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that? Email, you have a website, you know, if they want to talk to you because they need help or they just want to schmooze or they just, you know, want to say hello and my hat's off to you, you know, how would they do that?
So all of the above, I have a website, Josh Oldmos SR, because my son is also Joshua Oldmos. So JOSHOLMOSSR.com. There's a chat there that you can just click on it and, you know, it goes straight to my email. So I'll contact you within 24 hours. You can email me directly, Joshua, hello@joshuaoldmos.com, or you can find me on Instagram and DM me if that's easier for you, Josh Oldmos SR. I love to connect. I would love to chat, and, you know, always here to help.
That's so great. So my audience, if you're out there, my audience that I want to talk to, if, you know, if Josh's life resonates with you and it's, you know, and you might be something, you might be going through some of the things that he went through. He's the type of guy who'll be more than happy to talk you through it, give you some words of advice, give you some inspiration. He's just that type of a guy. He is the type of person that I think we need more of in this world. You know, we're in a world that is a little bit, you know, topsy-turvy, upside down, a little scary, but with people like Josh almost in the world, we're going to get through this and we're going to do great. Josh, thanks so much for sharing your story with my audience. I'm sure that you've touched the hearts and lives of many people in my audience. Good luck going forward. Send my best to your wife and to, of course, to your children, and keep doing what you're doing. Thanks so much. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Shomer. Remember, if you feel like you're stuck in the mud, like you're spinning your wheels, wasting time in your career, your business, your life, if you know you're not enjoying all the success, satisfaction, significance that you desire, then it's time for you to book a call with me at callwithari.com. Check out my Whispers and Bricks Academy coaching. And until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.